God. There are so many things that we could talk about this morning, considering it's the Christmas season. There's so many stories that have been told about the Christmas season. And I suspect as long as until the Lord comes back, there'll continue to be a large number of stories that are told over and over again. Some of them often have special meanings to us. I'm sure many of us can think about some of the things that happened when we were kids, when we were growing up, some special event that happened at the Christmas season. All those are making memories probably about the experience that we had throughout our lives through growing up within families. And some of them may not be such good stories. Some of them might be times that we have had difficult times during the Christmas season. It's sad to say that, but there's quite a number of people who find it a very difficult time of the year going through this particular time because they don't necessarily have a family tie that they're close to and that they haven't celebrated Christmas season together for many years. But also, sometimes there are loved ones that are not with them this year that were there last year. So it can be a difficult time. And I think one of the things that we want to do is remember those people who are having difficult times. We can do some things that for them probably that might help them to enjoy this time so that it's not a burden on them. So one of the things I believe that God wants his people to do is to be aware of one another. Be aware of what's happening in one another's lives so that make sure that we are a tool that God is using to bring joy into someone else's life in this particular time. We know God brought joy to mankind when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that he's called his people, God's people, to look out of beyond ourselves to be able to bring joy to those around us. And it's a wonderful privilege when you are the instrument that you're used to bring joy to someone else. So just meditate on that a little bit. I just challenge you to meditate on that and think about what you can do to bring peace and joy to someone else's life during this Christmas season. Well, in this Christmas season, a lot of churches have certain traditions that they carry out. One of the traditions, the whole concept of Advent. Advent begins 4 Sundays before Christmas Eve, and many churches celebrate this particular time talking about the Christmas season. The word Advent itself means arrival or appearing. Arrival or appearing. So it speaks to us about the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. God coming into the world. God becoming flesh. God becoming man into the world. And that's the Advent that we celebrate at Christmas time. But not only do we celebrate the first Advent, which is Christ coming the first time, but it also reminds us of the second Advent, which will be his coming the second time. We know that the scriptures teach that the Lord is coming again, but the first Advent is what we celebrate during this Christmas season, during this particular time. And in the season of Advent, there's usually 4 previous weeks to Christmas Eve, there's 4 candles that are lit. Each candle has a significant meaning. And on Christmas Eve, the final candle is lit that particular night. So last week, we've been lighting certain candles and talking about individual candles and what they represent. So the first candle on the first Advent is the candle of hope, expectation, and prophecy. Hope, expectation, and prophecy. It's wonderful to be able to look into Scripture and see what God has said about the first Advent. So remember with me now, the first Advent is the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first time that he's come into the world as a babe in a manger. The first Advent should not only remind us of his first coming, but also that he's coming again as well. So the scriptures that talk about him coming the first time, one of them is in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is God with us. Awesome. When you think of how the prophets in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, they prophesied a number of times about Jesus coming to us, born as a babe in a manger. And we can take that prophetic word concerning his second coming as well. Just as the Old Testament people or those living before Christ look to the Word of God and seen the prophetic word about Jesus coming, you and I in this day can also look at the Word of God and see the prophetic word concerning His second coming. Many, a lot of people don't know that we are believing that Jesus is coming again. But the prophetic word does say that He's coming again. We see that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. The Lord Himself spoke these words, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, those are just a couple of scriptures that we use, that we're talking about this morning concerning the Lord's first and second coming. We could look at many, many more scriptures that talk about the Lord's coming. But this is enough for us to get a sense of how God's word declares Jesus' first coming and also His second coming. So the first candle speaks to us of hope, expectation, and prophecy. And so Hannah will light the first candle. Now, the second candle that we want to speak about this morning is the candle of Bethlehem. The second candle is the candle of Bethlehem. That's what we celebrated last week, the second Sunday in the Advent calendar. It is the candle of Bethlehem reminding us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old." This prophetic word declares that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. That's a very significant name. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So the bread of life was born in the house of bread. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. Bethlehem is also identified as the city of David because King David was born in Bethlehem. King David is known as the greatest king that ever came on the scene other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was King David great? Because the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. It doesn't say that about any other king. But King David was a man after God's own heart. And both these kings, King Jesus and King David, was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. They were revealed to us in Bethlehem, the house of bread. So we light the second candle, which means the candle of Bethlehem. Now the third Sunday, which is today, we are celebrating the third Advent. The third Sunday in Advent is called Gaudete, the Latin word Gaudete Sunday. The day takes its common name from that Latin word, Gaudete, and it actually means to rejoice. The third candle is lit along with the first two. You can go ahead and light the third candle, Hannah. And it is the shepherd's candle, reminding us that God sent the angels to proclaim His arrival to the common man, and that God is still using man and angels today even to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We'll read about how the angels experience an angelic visitation and how they were directed by angels to go to see the newborn babe. Luke 2, 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Can you imagine this? Now, here were shepherds out in the fields of Israel, and they were looking after their sheep, probably that they had done thousands of nights before, and that they were patiently guarding their sheep. And I can imagine that it was probably a real clear night. And in the midst of that, the heavens open, and there's an angelic visitation comes. And when you think, who could be responsible for such an extravagant announcement? It must be somebody important coming. And of course, the angels noticed this. And in verse 10, verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is called Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Angelic angels came from heaven to announce the first coming, the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to stop and just think about this for a moment, because it's very significant that these angelic forces were put into action to come to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to me that Christianity is not mere religion. Christianity is a supernatural experience with God. It is a supernatural relationship with God. It's not something that we practice merely by coming to church, but Christianity has involved not only this present world, but also that world is to come, that spirit world, from which dynamic creatures come to announce the coming Savior of the world. It is a supernatural experience that you and I can experience with God. Christianity is a relationship. And without relationship, there's no Christianity. And you might say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by relationship? I mean a relationship of knowing God personally, of understanding that He's your Father, that Jesus Christ came to die for us that we might be redeemed. That's what Christianity is all about. We want to share a little bit about that in a couple of minutes, but this particular angel announced the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Man, it shook the whole world. What an extravagant announcement. Praise the Lord. You know, when you hear some big band playing somewhere, or some big rock concert, you have lighting set up and there's flashes coming up everywhere. That's nothing compared to the announcement of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When it came to Jesus coming on the scene, the very concert of heaven spoke. The very voices of heaven began to cry out that Christ the Lord is coming to earth. God is becoming flesh. God is becoming man so that He might redeem mankind. And of course, the angels came. They were coming announcing the first coming. Well, what about His second coming? Will angels be used when the Lord comes back? Will angels be declaring things about His second coming? Well, let's read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And this is talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His return to earth. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. That's the gospel that we preach. That's the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, tongue, and people. They preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every tribe, tongue, and people. And I'm convinced that what they do at that time as well is that they impart to the people on the earth the ability to be able to share with one another the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forces from heaven. You see, you ever see this movie called, the show, I think it is, We're Not Alone? Well, we're not alone. We're not alone in this world. There are supernatural beings sent from heaven to declare the goodness of God to you and I. When we understand that, life doesn't go on as usual. If there's something else that we're supposed to be attuned to, then we must pay attention to what's happening outside this natural realm that we live in. Yeah, the angels will proclaim not only the first arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also His second coming. And there are many messages that the angels bring. We could go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we could study those, and we could come out of them with many messages. All of them true, all of them great. There's many messages in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one that I believe overshadows them all is the message that Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind. Jesus Christ came to redeem you and I. That is a powerful message in the Scriptures. But we have to look at the word redeemed if we're going to understand what Jesus actually came to do. We're going to have to look at what does redeemed mean. Well, redeemed means to make something better or acceptable. That's one of the meanings of redeemed. It means to exchange something, exchange for money or reward. To redeemed also means to be free from distresses or harms. It means to be free from captivity by payment of ransom. Sometimes we hear about people who are captured over in the Middle East or in some other places by some people like ISIL. And they're captured and they're actually asking for a reward in order to let them go free. And they capture them, they hold them for ransom. Well, someone who pays the price to set them free would be somebody who is paying the price for their redemption, or that they might be redeemed. It means to release from blame or death, to be free from the consequences of sin. That's one of the most important meanings of redeem for me personally. I remember many, many years ago, before I became a Christian, when I began to understand the consequences of sin, it put a fear into me that I didn't really realize that was there before. I realized that somebody had to pay for this. You know, when you do something wrong in this natural realm, if you get out the road, down the road here, I heard about somebody recently who were driving a car. They were in a very nice car, and they were driving along, and they were driving so fast, they got stopped, and they got their car towed away, and they got a big fine for it. Well, there was a consequence for them doing something they weren't supposed to do. Now, even in the natural, we realize that there are consequences to doing some things that we're not supposed to do. Well, in the spiritual realm, it's no different. There are consequences for the things we do. And I remember when I realized that there were consequences for the things that I've done. I had done some pretty mean things. I wasn't a very nice person. And when I realized that there were consequences for that, somebody was going to have to pay a price for that, I realized that I had to find out more about the gospel, because I knew I couldn't pay the price. And I thank God I continued to look and found the message in Jesus. To release, redeem, to release from blame or death, to be free from the consequences of sin, to reform, repair, or restore, to be free from distresses or harm. Oh, doesn't the world want that? Doesn't the world look to be free from distresses or harm? And it also means, the word redeemed also means to buy back. It means to buy back. Did you ever sell something that you had, and after a while you wish you hadn't sold it? After a while you wish you'd had it back? I remember many years ago, I had a 1963 Pontiac Sport hardtop with a 283 engine in it. And it was nice. It was in mint condition. It was a real nice vehicle. And I liked that car. And I bought it in Calgary, and I drove it to here to Prince Edward Island. When I got out on the highway, I noticed that when I got up to high speeds, the front end would begin vibrating. And it bothered me. I had to keep it down really even below the speed limit in order to get home. And when I got to PEI, I was frustrated because it had this shimmy in it. And I decided that I wasn't going to drive it back out west again. So I sold it to a guy down here. And not long after that, I was talking to this individual who bought the car. And he said, you know, one day I was out washing the car with my hose on it. And I put my hose up against the fender and I heard this noise, tick. And he said, I did it again 3 or 4 times. And I heard this rattling. And he said, I went and noticed that the fender was, a bolt had let go, and I had to get it rewelded. And he got that little rewelded, and that was all the problem with the front end. Completely, front end. There was nothing really wrong with it at all. When he told me that, I wanted to redeem that car. I wanted to buy back that vehicle because it was something that I really liked. I wanted to redeem it. And God so loved us. The Bible says that even while we were enemies of God, He chose to buy us back. Amen. He chose to redeem you and I. He's seen some worth in you that was worth sending His very best for you to be redeemed, for you to be brought back into the family of God. Isn't that awesome when you think of it? Amen. It really is when we think of how God has redeemed us. The word redemption is a beautiful word in Scripture. It causes us to realize that we've been brought back into the family of God. When the enemy thought that he had us in bondage and that we could not get out, God came up with a way to redeem you and I. That He sent His only Son, and with that perfect sacrifice, He paid the ransom for you and I so that we could be brought back into the family of God. Glory to God. There was a Baptist pastor in Boston many, many years ago, A.J. Gordon, who was a good, great preacher in the city of Boston. And one day he was walking along and he seen a young man with a cage, a little boy with a cage, and inside the cage there was four or five birds in there. Pastor Gordon asked the young man, he said, "Where did you get those birds?" He said, "Oh, I caught them out in the field." And he said, "Well, what are you going to do with them?" He said, "Well, I guess I'll kind of play with them for a while, and after I'm done playing with them, I'll take them home and feed them to my old cat." I didn't think that would hit everybody so quite so hard there. Remember, that was 100 years ago. We're too politically correct today to have that kind of thing happen. God help us. Anyway, this pastor said, "Well, do you want to sell them?" And he said, "Oh, Pastor, no, they're no good. They can't sing or anything. You wouldn't want these birds." And he said, "Well, I'll give you $2 for the cage and birds and all." And the young boy said, "Well, okay, it's not a good deal for you, but okay." So he gave him the $2, and the young boy took off laughing and walked away, and the pastor took it out behind the church, and he opened that cage and let them all fly out. And then that Sunday morning, he took the cage into his pulpit, and he set it there, and he began to tell the story about redemption. He told a story about getting those birds from that little boy, and that little boy was going to bring those birds into the destruction. But in the midst of that, a redeemer came forth. Pastor Gordon came forth and paid the price to have those birds set free. And when he set them free, he said, "Although that little boy said that these birds weren't much for singers at all, he said, I believe that when I opened the gate and those birds flew out, I believe I could hear them singing, 'Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed.' They were brought back because there was a redeemer who seen a value in them that paid a price for them so that they could be brought back and set free again." And that's what God did for you and I. I believe that every song in the Christmas season speaks to us of redemption, of a people being redeemed. Every time we pass a gift out to somebody else, it speaks about being redeemed. Every time we gather together to celebrate this time of year, it speaks about mankind being redeemed. Amen. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by the God of heaven. Praise the Lord. It's an awesome understanding to realize that we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We said that joy and rejoicing was the theme for this third Sunday of Advent. Remember that Latin word? It speaks to us about joy, about redemption. Remembering that angels came to the shepherds and declared the good news that the Savior had come into the world. That gives us so many reasons to be joyful, so many reasons for redemption. Romans 15:13 says, May the God of hope, the Apostle Paul praying this out to the church at Rome, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can overflow with joy and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that there is not a human being that can live the Christian experience without the power of the Holy Spirit? Many can confess Christ as Lord, but don't go any further than that and never really receive the redemption that God has come to give us. No. The power of the Holy Spirit must be involved in our redemption. You see, before I ever came to Christ, before I ever became a Christian, I used to look at Christians and wonder what they were all about. One thing for sure I knew, I could never live like a Christian, nor did I ever want to live like a Christian. I didn't want to come into a fellowship in a church building like this and sing praises to God. I had no interest in that at all. I had no interest in coming together with other people of like faith. I had no interest in that. But when the Holy Spirit began to convict me and I turned my life over to God, then the Holy Spirit came to help me enjoy the things of heaven. Amen. Do you realize that if you were ever to make it to heaven without having Jesus Christ as Lord and be born again, what the Bible says, if you were ever made it to heaven that way, you'd be like a fish out of water. You wouldn't fit in heaven. We really wouldn't. If I had died and went to heaven and not been born again, I would feel like a fish out of water. Because heaven's not my atmosphere if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven's, that atmosphere would be foreign to us. But once we come into the kingdom of God, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, then the power of God comes to help us to enjoy the atmosphere of heaven, to love the things of God, to love God in one another. Oh, it's so great to have His power to be able to live for Jesus today. On this third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate the joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy comes from understanding that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter where you're at today. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. It may be a serious trial. It may be a difficult season in your life. There may be issues that you cannot control. You don't know what to do. Joy can come in the midst of that trial, knowing that you are not alone, that God is with you. Remember Emmanuel, the very word says, God with us. You are not alone in the midst of trial. You are not alone in difficult seasons. And God knows every emotion that you're going through. I think that's wonderful. I really do. You know, sometimes when you're having a real difficult day, you want to share with someone, you want to talk with someone, and you're not necessarily looking for a fix because you don't know that any way to fix it, but you just need somebody to be with you. Just need somebody to understand what you're going through, somebody who can feel the things you're feeling at any given time. I know God is the answer for that. Amen. God is the answer for that. And long as He is with you, then nothing is too difficult. As you stay with Him, He will bring you through whatever you're going through. And on the other side is hope and peace and joy. Everything that this Advent Sunday represents. Joy is a peace in your heart that comes from understanding that you are redeemed. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord talk about His goodness, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's one of the things I believe that God wants you and I as people who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the redeemed, He's called upon us to share what God has done for us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I believe there's power in the words of God. There's power in words that you and I speak when we talk about what the Lord has done for you. I'm sure most everybody here, if we really stop and think, we could think about something that the Lord has done for us. Something that the Lord has set us free from. Something that the Lord is working with us in. Something that the Lord is showing us in this season. I remember this one pastor was talking to this very, very wealthy man. And there was two of them there, and the wealthy man says, you could take all my money away today. And he said, in 2 years, I'd have it all back, with or without God. He added those little words to it. And this pastor's friend who was there with him leaned over to that rich man, and he said, mister, without God, you couldn't draw your next breath. And even though you and I, maybe there's some of us that haven't given much consideration to God, haven't given much consideration to who He is or what involvement He has in your life, you need to know this, that without God, you couldn't draw your next breath. He's involved in your life. Oh, the joy to know that we have a Redeemer. I want you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Consider who He is. Consider what He's came to do. I'm convinced that God sent heaven's best to mankind that we might be redeemed and come into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, he that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. He has declared that he has given us an opportunity to walk with him, the creator of the universe, and to know and understand his ways. And I believe he's asking us to consider that in this third Advent Sunday. He's asking us to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer today. Can you say that you are redeemed? This is between you and the Father. He's given you the invitation this morning. I want you to stand with me, please.